Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Eat, sleep, move, stress, control stress, control your stress response, really. So that's what we talked about a lot, is like, okay, be conscious of your calm state and be aware of how much you're responding to stress.
Welcome to Series 2 of the 1 Year No Beer podcast.
If you haven't hit subscribe yet, then hit that button so you don't miss another episode.
Well, today on the 1 Year No Beer podcast, I am super excited to be hooked up to all manner of things. Sat here with a drip. Next to Dr. Eniat. Dr. E.
Yes.
Easier. Dr. E. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for freezing me. I literally turned my hair. It will turn grey.
Snow, right?
Snow on my chest.
Yeah.
So today we are here at Human Tomb. Human?
Human with it. Yeah, just Human.
Okay,
Human
Tomb. No, there isn't. No, okay.
Sounds nice though.
Yeah,
it sounds like a Bollywood song.
I'm doing exactly. So I've been loving digging into your story and what you're trying to do here. Love it, absolutely love it. So really want to dive into a bit of that. But first, let's just talk about my little experience there, because it's all about me. I love an ice bath, but I went into this cryo chamber. Is that the right words?
Correct, yes.
Cool. Tell me a bit about that, the real science of it. I do ice baths. Why is that better?
It's basically, it gives you more of a physiological response. You went down to minus 120 Celsius?
Yeah, minus 120 for 3 minutes.
Head, whole body, right?
Yep.
So at that temperature range, you get more of a physiological response. You get more, particularly from your pituitary gland in your brain, you get more growth hormone production and a bit of testosterone as well.
And it will happen.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, it's brilliant. You're probably, at the moment, got a few endorphins flying around.
Oh, yeah.
You're buzzing.
Yeah, you can tell me. I'm normally quite hyperactive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, James, am I more than normal right now? No, the same.
A bit happier than James? Are you a bit happier?
Definitely happier.
Good.
Yeah. So you've got some more endorphins flying around.
Lovely.
Right? So you're going to feel a bit happier. You've just burnt 600 calories, right, in those 3 minutes, because...
600 calories?
That's right.
I need this every day.
It's brilliant.
It's a hack. 600 calories in 3 minutes?
That's right, yeah, because your skin temperature dropped quite a lot. And then as the skin temperature drops, your body needs to create heat to bring your skin temperature back, so it uses lots of calories. Mm-hmm. So you might start to feel a bit peckish in a little while.
Okay.
But I remember you said you had some lunch.
I did, but I was hungry before I arrived, so if there's rumbling noises, then we know what that is.
But that's why we're juicing you up with some amazing vitamins, minerals,
amino acids. Yes, so what's happening here? Why am I plugged in?
Right, you said you wanted to be biohacked.
Yes.
Experiencing is believing is one of the mantras 100%. We have here at Human. And what we're putting into you right now is something called NAD+. Okay. Some additional B vitamins and B the team put in, and some minerals and amino acids.
Is it all legal?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
In these doors. It's his own jurisdiction.
I said, okay, cool, but I was really like, oh. After the podcast, can we do some of them now? Yeah.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah, behind, exactly. So NAD+. Tell us.
Yeah, NAD+ is one of, it's my favorite. Innovation in nutritional science.
Well, you're a man leading by example here. You're also plugged in.
Absolutely. Try before you buy it.
Yeah.
And you want to, I have to believe in the one, in the science, and two, experience the science on me, then experience on a set of, you know, lights controlled, and then reintroduce it to our kind of, patients.
Yeah.
And NAD plus is actually a vitamin B3 derivative. So it's naturally occurring. It's found within all of our cells. One of the important things about the way we put this approach together is really looking at the human body as a collection of cells, trillions of cells, and what, how can we optimize cellular function? And the human body is complicated, but it's, in some ways it's not so complicated. We break it down to the cellular level, which are trillions of these cells that self-replicate, self-organize, specialize into different types of cells, different tissues, but the common things are common. We have two important functions within each cell. You have the nucleus of the cell, which contains the DNA, our genetics, and then you have the mitochondria of each cell, which is the engine of the cell.
Okay.
A bit like a car. Yeah. A car requires air and oxygen to come in into the engine that combusts and produce energy. If the exhaust isn't that efficient, you get smoke coming out, right? But if you've got a really efficient engine, then you don't get much smoke coming out. It gives you pure, clean energy. And so that mitochondria is very important from that perspective. And NAD plus is one of the important cofactors that takes oxygen and pushes out clean energy, ATP.
Okay.
So a block. So energy production at the mitochondria is in two ways. One in the presence of oxygen and one in the absence of oxygen. So presence of oxygen is aerobic respiration, and that produces 16 times more ATP than without oxygen.
Sure.
But it's not just without oxygen, it's also without NAD+, because they're interdependent. So if you don't have enough NAD+, you're not going to be able to produce enough cellular energy. Right? And it's commonly known, there's studies that have come out to show that by the age of 40, we lose 50% of our natural stores of NAD. We build them back up from our nutrition and an efficient digestive tract, but even still, we use them up a lot. So we deplete. And so they're just depleting. And now it's understood that it's very strongly correlated to what the slowing down of the human body and the processes.
Right.
Really because of cellular energy. If you don't have good cellular energy production, then the functions it needs to do, which depends on the driver, the DNA of that particular cell, will drive the cell to what it needs to do. You're going to naturally degrade. So I studied longevity science. One of my kind of real passionate interests is a look at how the human body starts to slow down in multiple ways, becomes inefficient in multiple ways. A bit like a car, the more you drive it, the more you rev it, processes within that engine start to break down, be it the tires start to go bald, etc., etc. And I worked in the stem cell industry in 2007. That's when I really began to understand the potential of the human body from a regenerative, self-regulating perspective. And then I started to put this center together, this approach together 7-8 years ago, where we combined a deeper look at the human body from a processes perspective, what goes on at any given time to make the most out of those biological processes, and combine them with therapies like cryotherapy, and hyperbaric oxygen therapy and IVs that can support those processes to work better, to get so that your body, your biology does the work.
Okay.
And it starts to come back more into balance towards that peak, which was in our mid to late 20s.
Mm. Great.
Biologically, yeah. And so that's basically a little bit about.
Love it. And principally,
yes,
people walk through the door about longevity. Yeah, there people are here about longevity, or it's more about health, or because I know they're the same thing. You know,
yeah.
I know you're dealing with the whole aspect here, but
I created this brand in particularly because I wanted to communicate to younger people.
Okay.
Health should start when you're healthy.
Right.
And in this country, when you're
it's like raising money only when you don't need it.
Yeah. Health should start when you're healthy, and you know, when you're healthy, you kind of abuse your body, right? Like you don't really appreciate it. And so we created this, the brand Human. It's a fun brand in many ways. We're very educational in our brand. And so we do look after people that come in for longevity, but that's not your typical person, you know. Not many people even know what the word is, right? Like,
yeah.
It's only a really subsect of society.
A lot of internet marketers
and gurus
being
popularized
and people like that looking for longevity.
Yeah, and
I know a few people who say, I know Dan Kennedy, the other Dan. Oh, anyway, he wants to live to 153. Very
yeah.
specific.
Yeah, 154.
No, he wants 153.
Might fail then.
Yeah.
Unless we'll have to, like, you know, assisted euthanasia at that. On the 31st of December.
Just said. You nailed your target.
Yeah,
exactly. Ship them off to Switzerland.
No, but yeah, so we do see people that have those longevity goals. But they need to, you know, for those, they're typically, those for us are typically chairmen or boards. They want to add years to their life now.
Yeah.
They're typically in their 50s and 60s. They've got high disposable income. But the people that come to us are either looking to improve their performance, get the most out of their human body and mind to achieve the things that they want. You know,
yeah.
those we love working with, the kind of people that are seeking to get the most out of life. And then we also look after people that have kind of been, I say failed is the wrong word, it's a bit harsh, but haven't found the answers to their conditions. It's been like long COVID. We've treated a lot of long COVID patients.
Right.
Or
with what? I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, somebody who's got long COVID, what have you taken them through? What have you done with them?
It depends on the symptoms that they have.
Okay.
Yeah. So some have kind of energy dysfunction. Some will have brain fog. Some might have respiratory symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we found the hyperbaric oxygen very useful. A 10-day hyperbaric oxygen protocol. But they just come in every day.
Here for 10 days.
No, they just come in and out. Yeah, they just come in and out. 45 minutes a day in the oxygen chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And that decreases neuroinflammation, it increases your oxygen carrying capacity by 20 times, and it helps reduce inflammation within your body. So we've seen that have a really immediate effect. The other effect that's really helpful for long COVID is generally just reducing inflammation in your body.
Mm.
And that's where the functional medicine comes in. I think you've heard of functional medicine.
Oh, yeah.
So functional medicine, we practice that in Neuro as well. And that is really looking at what are the root causes of dysregulated systems. So that's really good for long COVID as well. How do we find the drivers of inflammation that are happening for you and the manifestation of that inflammation in different organs within your body, particularly? And how do we upregulate antioxidant production? How do we support your systems so that they're working more in harmony with your hormones, your micronutrients, your digestive tract, and looking at the human body, not as traditional medicine does, which looks at it as a collection of organs, then independently looks at that organ, but as in a more interconnected as it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Great.
And it's brilliant. You know, when I started studying that 7 years ago in the US. Functional medicine.
Yeah.
And I came across it at first. I was, you know, UK trained GP.
Exactly. Skeptical.
And absolutely very skeptical. I was in a
conference.
Yeah, exactly. I was in a conference with nutritionists and osteopaths. And there's some doctors there. And I was like, sitting in Baltimore in the US, and I was like, oh my God, only in the US can this happen.
Yeah.
And listening, and I was like, okay, this is like marketing gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how can you advertise that you can reverse these conditions? And they're talking about reversing early Alzheimer's, and they're talking about, you know,
totally.
We know that.
Diabetes
reversing. I know, I'm a UK trained doctor.
Yeah.
I worked in the London teaching hospitals.
Yeah.
I know best. And then one of the faculty there is a physician, ITU physician, and I asked him if he'd be my mentor, and we tried applying it to a couple of patients here in the UK, and I was astonished.
Mm.
We reversed, you know, I was astonished at how quickly you can make people feel better, the feeling of feeling better, more in control of themselves.
Yes.
You know, so a big 40-year-old, I remember the first patient, she was, you know, 40, you know, in her mid-40s, she did professional dressage on the side, and she stopped doing that because she was just tired all the time, low mood. And she was a high-performing person. She was involved in, and lots of things, including philanthropic being philanthropic efforts, etc. And within a couple of weeks of just doing diet, nutrition, supplementation, she was sleeping better, her mood was better, her time with her kids was more productive, she had less anxiety, and she was like, Doug, I just feel so better.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was for me. It was like, this is what being a doctor is about.
Really big here. Yeah,
this is what it's about. It's not so much the numbers. The numbers did improve, by the way. The antibody dropped right down.
Yeah.
She had a Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is also immune-conditioned thyroid. Numbers dropped. But it was about that. That was it. It was like, penny dropped for me there. It was like, this is what it's all about, being a doctor. Giving someone, supporting someone to get their most out of their life.
Yeah.
Removing all of that inflammation, removing all of that energy loss, which was stopping her from being the best mom she wanted to be, being the best friend she wanted to be, being the best, you know, and just help. And that was it. And from then, we just built. And
good for you.
And it's been a mission of ours, you know, and it is a mission of ours to educate, to empower practitioners, to help them understand. You know, the medical community now is a mission to help them understand that this needs to be taken seriously, because it can solve some of the problems that are out there in the medical system. Well, and it annoys me because everyone thinks that
save the actual system from itself, you know. It's
which has not been helped by the kind of, you know, the politicians, let's be honest.
No.
You know, when I qualified, there were 4-hour waiting times in A&E, and it was actually excellent, and the working in that system. And now it's so sad to see over time it's been stripped of resource and it's been allowed to crumble. But society's also changed. Demands have also changed in society as well. Sorry, I'm talking loads.
No, it's great. It's really good. And you've given me loads. So I want to skip back through a couple of bits and bobs because, you know, you talked about this being NAD plus, I've gone way back, NAD plus being B3. Interesting research is to show that actually, let's call it a high proportion because it's undefined. In the research, but a high proportion of alcohol craving actually is a deficiency in B vitamins. And so just that piece of information there, it's like, well, you know, so many people are feeling this craving, think it's the alcohol, think that it's about addiction, but that they can take some simple steps to eliminate those things.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and it depletes your vitamin levels. And one of the things that we give in hospital is something called Pabrinex, which is it's a very dilute version of some B vitamins. B vitamins are remarkably important for the way that your brain cells communicate. And alcohol is very neurotoxic.
Yeah.
And it kind of swells your brain cells. It stops them communicating as well. It stops your nerve impulses connecting. And that's why, you know, when you're inebriated, you lose control, right? And that's why chronic use of alcohol causes loss of control, it affects the cerebellum, loss of balance, all of these things. So NAD plus is, there's studies to show it's used as part of a substance detox protocol to help people come off alcohol very quickly.
Yep.
Because it reduces those exact withdrawal symptoms.
Amazing.
Because it takes time to recover from those withdrawal symptoms if you're not supported with the supplements of the right sorts of
Exactly.
And getting them directly into your blood is just so much more powerful than taking them in orally, going through the digestive process, and then not having those levels get into your cells.
We talked about this before we jumped on the podcast, but I just literally was talking to somebody today, and the recommendation from their drugs and alcohol counselor, their drugs and alcohol doctor, the supervisors, was 10% reduction every 2 to 3 days. And, you know, I think about that and I say, you know, that's an extremely safe limit, but this is something that is widely known to reduce, or, you know...
It's emerging. This study's
emerging.
Come out. Yeah, so I would say it is used in other countries, like in the US, in Australia as well.
Yeah.
UK tends to be behind.
Yeah,
on kind of adopting innovations in the preventative optimization, hairy disease space.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's established science, you know, and there's lots of kind of substance misuse or substance recovery clinics that are using NAD plus around the world. and we're starting to use it and seeing great results with our patients that I'm here for that.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them transform in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
From someone that doesn't have control of their thoughts, irritated, restless, to within day four, really what is underneath themselves, calm, rested. And that's what's really beautiful about the supporting someone through that early five, the first few days, where you can very quickly get them to start to feel like themselves, which they probably haven't felt for a long time.
Yeah. But that's, are you talking about just this process? Or
that was the process, yeah, the NAD process.
Okay, but I mean, there's a huge psychological element here into drinking. So are you dealing with that side of it as well?
We have a psychiatrist, and we refer out for kind of ongoing support. We tend to do the 5 days, and that tends to, and then we make sure that they have a support network around them, friends, families, loved ones, psychotherapists, etc. And
this is where we should talk.
Absolutely, 100%.
Because
and we should. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And similarly, like, you know, the more physical aspect, you know, helping people. You mentioned about dysregulated systems, and you know, a dysregulated nervous system, right, has multiple parts into that. It's physical, biological, but it's also the mental aspect, and I think that is. Tell me a bit more about what you're doing with dysregulated, specifically the dysregulated nervous system. How do you identify that as an example?
The first thing that comes to mind is about the nervous system, I'm thinking sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system. I love using the oral ring for our members. I love looking at HRV. Mm-hmm. I use that as a marker of internal stress response. And help people understand that the lower it is, the more the more stressed your physiology is. Okay.
Do you know first beat?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. That's what we use. We use the aura and first beat.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And the data from first beat is much more shocking. Mm-hmm. It's really people can see absolutely in the. In clarity, minute by minute, it's very, very impactful. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and so I think we also in an environment where our biology, or let's just talk about the nervous system for a sec. Our nervous system is being hardwired to be more than sympathetic. Yeah, you know, we're hyperstimulated.
Totally.
Yeah,
look at society and everything like this.
And I don't think we're evolutionarily ready for it. Mm. And so we're seeing this. We're seeing this, what's happening to, this is very much in our lifetimes. In the last 5 to 10 years, we're seeing this. And if you look around, you're going to see it more and more. We're seeing new diseases coming up, new problems, the rise of ADHD, the rise of anxiety, the rise of sight, and they're all mental health issues predominantly. Plus, there's going to be a whole lot of dysregulated hormonal issues. Fertility issues are going to arise. We're going to start both in men and women. That's starting to be on the rise as well. Why is that? And it is down to this hyper-stimulated environment we're in, where we've got a million WhatsApps, emails, social media. Now there's not even just one social media app. It's probably 5, right? And screen time. 10 hours screen time.
Stress, work, expectations.
And now when I do consultations, both in the NHS and here at Human, especially my younger adults, I'm looking at their phone and saying, show me your screen time.
Yeah.
It's part of my assessment.
James, take my phone.
Yeah, but
before he looked.
Yeah, no, it's not, and it's but you know what's so interesting, your response there? It's like younger children are absolutely fine. They don't mind, they're looking for help.
Mm.
You know, they're actually young. I was surprised. I thought if I'm going to ask a child, a teenager, they're going to be like, I'm not going to show it to my doctor.
Yeah.
Adults give me that response.
Yeah,
exactly. Teenagers don't.
Yeah.
Because I think they understand that they're looking for support.
Mm.
And they're looking around, that they're seeing.
Aware already.
Yeah, you look around, and you know, when your parents are on their phone 10 hours a day now as well,
yeah.
You're like, the older generation, everyone's just doing it. I think biologically, we're not ready for that. You know, we're made to rest at night. circadian rhythm is supposed to come, you know, your melatonin is supposed to be produced in the evening, your cortisol is supposed to peak first thing at daylight in the morning. You know, our body's not made to be on all the time. Mm. Yeah, you know, we're revving that engine and now we're getting smoke out of the exhaust.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not getting what we want. And that is affecting the way we think. Right? Now we're not being able to think clearly.
Well, young most people are thinking, oh, I'm depressed, or oh, I'm anxious and I have this thing. And it's like, no, you don't have a thing. Like, you're staring at your phone, you're not exercising, you're not doing any breath work, you're not getting good sleep, you're having alcohol occasionally, which is basically like giving yourself the flu every night for your body. Do those first, and then come back, and diet, of course.
Mm.
So,
yeah, and it's, people don't realize that we like to think that we're in control. That's what our ego would like to know, we're in control, but we're, you know, come back to this control thing, but actually our biology drives us more than we realize. It drives the way we experience the world.
Mm.
Okay, so if we've got a dysregulated baseline, where we're already dysregulated because the sympathetic nervous system is overactive, it will affect the way we can think and perceive the world.
Yeah.
We will be more reactive. We will be more restless.
Yeah.
We'll get more sad quickly. We'll get more anxious quickly. We're going to turn to things that will get us feeling nicer. Yeah. We're emptying out.
Mm.
We're emptying the bucket. You know? We're in, you know, if you're getting restless quickly, if you're getting irritable, take note of it. You can look at yourself like a Duracell battery and think of yourself going into that reserve now. You know? And if you're not being your best self, you're in that reserve.
Okay, so.
And then you need to support yourself to get out of it. So, first things first is.
Come and see you.
No, develop that self awareness. Come and see us as well, Andrew. But develop self awareness.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, and realize, and how do you do that? To do that, I think you need to know what yourself is like, the most restful state. With zero stimulus.
Yeah.
So you need to...
Find your own calm.
Exactly.
Okay.
Find you like a calm state.
Yeah.
Create the environment.
I think I remember that. I can't know.
Yeah. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
But do it so that you can know what your body feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Calm, quiet, no stimuli around you. Peaceful place. Sleep well, eat well. And, you know, just for a couple of days. And then just know what that feels like. And really just think about it, reflect on it, be at one with it, because you use that as a barometer to how far away you are from your calmness.
Mm, yeah.
Because if you don't know your calmness, you'll never know how far you are away from your calmness, right? And that's the beginning of understanding, wait a minute, you know when you're getting that really restless, the irritable, whatever it is, you've now got a point of reference.
Yeah, I like that. I think, yeah, and I love the whole starting with an awareness piece. I think
and then the tools come in.
Yeah, the tools.
Then the tools, like you said, yeah, then you can start to say, okay, how do I get myself back towards a calmer state? Right? And, you know, if you want to be that poised animal, right? You want to be poised but ready, a bit like a cat. You know, just supple but poised and ready. Yeah. And so to do that, you've got to be calm. You can't be on edge.
Mm.
You know, and if you look around, a lot of people are on edge. Wired but tired. So we need to kind of get people, support people to be, get into that mindset of being low energy expenditure from their body. But when they want it, they have the reserve to be able to be in control of their body, of their mind. Because everything takes energy. Thoughts take energy. Digestion takes energy. So it is like a Duracell battery. You know, it's about refilling and knowing what you're utilizing your energy on.
Yeah.
And realizing that, and then you can start to pop that into your diary, into your workflow, and the things you want to achieve in life. So that, you know, you don't need to, you know, be on all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
some of the things, and I want to dig into these tools just more specifically. But some of the things that we teach, I mean, certain people performing at a high level. Okay, you're run a business, you know, 20,000 employees, or you're a senior in a bank, or whatever it is. There's a lot of pressure there. Usually, a lot of pressure to perform. You know, maybe some things are out of whack, family, whatever, all those things are out of balance. So there's a lot of stress, a lot of these things. And it's not about, I think, you know, people to go away and take a nice meditation retreat.
They'll find the calm version of themselves, but then the moment they get back into their real world, it's like back to gear six again, just 9 million miles an hour. And this is the way I live. And then occasionally I need to go away and do this meditation retreat and find calm. And part of what we are teaching people, and as well, what's great about the first beat and things like that, is that you can see the state change after doing some breath work. You can see the state change after doing a small meditation, or like a Huberman calls them NSDR protocols, non-sleep deep rest protocols. And so you can see how much somebody shifts in their day. So it's actually the small bits of maintenance through that allow you to achieve at a higher level.
Absolutely. And yeah, I'm aligned with you. It's not about going away for, you know, the holidays.
Yeah.
Everyone looks forward to their holidays because that's when they're going to get their rest.
Their
they feel good.
And then go back,
you know, and then they go back to the kind of like the storm. It's about how do you navigate the storm with, you know, how do you navigate that storm with the body that you have, and giving it the right fuel, giving it the right rest breaks, which are these meditations, the NSDR protocols, you know, that those moments where you're kind of allowing your body to recover, recenter. That's how you navigate the storm better.
Yeah. So what other tools do you recommend?
Okay. So we talked about breath work. I think they start with eat, sleep, move, stress, control stress, control your stress response, really. So that's what we talked about a lot, is like, okay, be conscious of your calm state and be aware of how much you're responding to stress all the time, like your stress response. Movement is really, really important. You know, different types of movement according to what your goals are and what you're going through. But, you know, there's a lot of studies, and there's a lot of awareness around the importance to start your day with activity, to do high intensity exercise, medium intensity, sometimes to mix it up, stretching, mobility, and to have that as a part of your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
How you fuel your body. We touched upon that, different kind of fueling strategies that you can use. But the thing I would think about here is just adding to that is like, are you absorbing your nutrients? Are you driving inflammation from the food that you're having and actually taking away your energy reserve? And are you, what kind of fuel are you using? Are you using those energy, you know, worst case, those energy drinks, or over caffeinating?
I don't know what you feel about this, but I use Huel.
They
very kindly sponsor our podcast too.
Yeah.
So,
excellent.
I use Huel mostly because it's super easy.
Yeah.
You know, carry it with me or whatever, you know, travel and stuff like that. It's very easy to have a meal.
Day?
Most days.
Yeah.
And then when I'm at the office, I find it very easy to fast. So I fast. It's much easier to fast at the office than it is at home.
Mm.
I know you're a fan of fasting.
Mm. At the office as well, yeah.
Exactly. And then what I'll do is I'll have a Huel or two, and then I'll eat a dinner later. So
nice.
it's also, you know.
And have you noticed how long you've been doing it for?
Like that? Well, a few months.
Okay, cool. Have you noticed
But I don't always do it. I mean, at the weekend, it's
probably
don't at home.
Have, like, that energy dip after lunch, and you probably...
No, it's great. Yeah,
yeah, it's probably quite good. Yeah.
I think it's a really, really good, and then it has all those nutrients and good stuff with it. So, so you were talking about your fuel, and then I interrupted you.
Yeah, we were talking about the kind of nutrition.
Yeah, so we talked about this before. We didn't get into it, which was, do you have a preferred diet? Do you have a recommended diet? What's your thoughts on?
We like to personalize diet strategies. I mean, ideally, you look at data points, you know, to understand what someone needs to eat according to what their blood is showing them, what their biomarkers are showing us. you know, what mineral nutrient deficiencies they might have, because everyone is slightly different. If we have the opportunity to test, we will test.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of tests we would look at, we look at your blood work, but through a optimal range perspective, not through a wide normal range perspective. So really narrow optimal ranges. That gives us ideas of imbalances that you might have from a nutrient mineral perspective, mineral deficiencies, nutrient deficiencies, and other patterns that you might have. Things like that traditional medicine won't look at, like detoxification issues in your liver, leaky gut, signs of intestinal overgrowth of fungi or parasites, methylation issues. I don't know if you come across methylation, but methylation, 4 in 10 people have problems methylating.
Okay.
And methylating is a process that happens in all of our cells, where the DNA, you remember the important, and the DNA comes out, basically DNA comes out of the nucleus and is the binary code for the cell to uptake different vitamins, minerals, and amino acids and make them into hormones, proteins, and enzymes.
Okay.
So in that process, DNA going to RNA and RNA coding for the uptake of those different core ingredients, you require something called methylation to happen. So it happens in every single one of our cells. But 4 in 10 people have, up to 4 in 10 people have a problem with one of the genes related to methylation called the MTHFR gene, and which means they don't methylate as efficiently.
And is that a birth defect or is it?
Yeah, it's genetic.
Genetic. Thank you. That's the word.
Yeah, it's genetic. But it doesn't mean that it directly causes diseases. Mm-hmm. It's more indirectly, it's more cellular process inefficiency.
Okay.
So you don't add the methyl group to your B12. So your B12 is not in its active form. So you can take B12, but you're not getting it in the active form at a cellular level is what you see in your bloods. And that can correlates to a number of things: anxiety, propensity, likely to be more anxious, likely to have higher blood pressure. We're seeing those patterns. Weaker detoxification through your liver.
Interesting.
And then you will be depleted, and you'll have low B12, low folate. So that's related to kind of like, you know, your ability to recover from alcohol as well, and high homocysteine. So homocysteine is related to inflammation within your blood vessels,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you know, you're more likely to turn your lipids into plaques and your calcified vessels drive strokes and heart attacks and dementia longer term in life, right? So that's been really interesting to look at we look at that indirectly through our blood testing, and it's such a simple intervention. If you have that,
really,
you just need to take a methyl B12 supplement.
Mm.
A methylated B12 supplement.
So you can see it easily from doing your bloods, but I'm guessing most people, I mean, the thing's not bloods.
Yeah, it depends what you're looking
exactly.
for. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. You have to be specifically looking for that.
Yeah. And if you look at the normal range of any blood test, it's like, you know, for example, thyroid stimulating hormone goes from 0.5 all the way to 4.5. This is produced by the brain to stimulate your thyroid. Okay. So if you're at 4, you're going to feel very different to if you're at 0.5, but they're still within normal range.
Right, right, yeah. Okay.
And so it's like being at two ends of the Grand Canyon.
What year did they define the normal range?
It's not iterated.
Yeah.
It's not iterated.
It's old science.
It's old established numbers that very rarely get updated.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But you we'll
come on to
that.
Yeah, so then we look at the, that's a medical way to look at bloods. Then we look at it, and we look at it from an optimal range. So that's, it's not, so the point there is, it's not just what you're looking at, it's how you're looking at it.
Completely.
And then we also look at non-traditional tests that are emerging, things that, like, you know, we look at your stool in detail.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking in your stool, that's 100 markers just for your stool. We're looking at your microbiome, your digestive enzyme production. Are you efficiently producing proteases, lipases, you know, things to break down your food efficiently? Because if that's not happening, you know, you're not producing the enzymes. You can eat the best food, but then you're not going to get those nutrients delivered through your plumbing, which is your blood, to your cells. We're looking at signs of leaky gut, inflammation coming through the gut lining. And very commonly, we see people that have fungi overgrowth.
Yeah, yeah.
Or parasites, you know, viruses in their blood, but very low grade. So that's nice to do as well. So we optimize the digestive tract. Another interesting test that we look at is something called metabolomic testing. That's looking at, this looks at how you, it's, you know, metabolic testing, how you produce energy at a cellular level. And it looks at kind of your, some of the deeper cellular processes that go on, how you recycle neurotransmitters. You personally, everyone has a slightly different way of doing it. They may be deficient in this key nutrient that they're not getting in through their diet for various reasons, genetic or just through their diet, and through their absorptive tract. So that really helps kind of when you optimize your metabolomics, that's really useful as well. So those are your three core tests. Sometimes we look at food sensitivity testing. And then we also look at, we can look at genetics as well. I like to leave that a bit later, but we can look at genetics as well. We have one panel that we use, a panel of testing, which is really good. It's called the longevity panel of testing, where it's got a lot of biomarkers in there related to identifying the processes that will determine how long you will live. And we can even test.
I was always told I wouldn't live past 30. So
why was that?
Because I was nuts.
Yeah. So, what were you doing that was so risky?
Just, you know, jumping off buildings and
parkour,
smashing cars, and parkour didn't exist when I was
young. So you were doing parkour.
I was just setting fire to things, most things.
You're a troublemaker.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was troubled. Yeah. I was in counseling at 6 years old. I was troubled. It's a feat. Let's get off me. Back to you. That is a lot of testing. Does somebody come in here for a week for all that testing, or do they?
No, we can send the test kits out.
Okay.
We send the test kits out to people, or they can come in. And then you start to work with us, with one of the team. And the doctors and the nutritionists, they start working with you. Once we've identified the imbalances, put you on the right supplements, correct those imbalances, the right food plan, nutrition for you. And we iterate that over time and iterate your supplementation. Supplementation isn't for life, right? How many supplements sit in our cupboard? Crazy, right? Like you can open your cupboard and you got all of these supplements. You might take this once and you might take that once, but you know, supplements aren't for life. They're to support those processes that are imbalanced and correct them. And then you wean them off and you go on to the next important area to fix. So you go strategically bit by bit and you correct those. And then the therapies are there just to supercharge the process. Yeah.
Very cool. Now I know we kind of touched on bloods. You've got some disruptive thoughts about bloods. That sounds weird. You know, like you're saying, normal clinical ranges and actually where it's going. So tell me a bit about that. You want to be, are you trying to be pioneering here? Or are you trying to be at the forefront of it?
It's really not trying to be anything.
Okay.
The only thing where we want to do is apply the science that's we know, right? We now know.
Is it not selective? I mean, the science, there's so much.
You want to make sense of it.
And this study had 90 participants and this study had 150, and those two both say totally different things.
Yeah, the study isn't necessary. The study confirms the science, I suppose. And you're right, there's big variability in studies, right?
And biases and all sorts.
Big biases and pick and choose. You know, and
who funded it?
Yeah, who funded it? And you know what? There is a lot of that. And but with what we're doing, we're saying that we're not using a drug-based approach. We're not trying to use synthetic toxic things. We're using things like supplements that are found naturally in our foods and that are very safe, that can't be toxic to most people. And we're looking for imbalance earlier. So that's why we look for movement away from the optimal before it gets to the disease state, and correcting those imbalances earlier, you know? So it's basically great. Earlier intervention.
Great.
And it's simpler. When it's earlier, it's simpler.
I just have this phrase, and I think I made it up, but you'll tell me if I didn't. But I just think that prevention should always swim upstream. And so it's always about trying to get earlier. And even if it's that's the awareness piece. You know, if I think about what I'm trying to do, originally it was like there wasn't anything out there, I felt, years ago to support somebody who didn't have a serious problem, but wanted to stop drinking and wanted support. So that's where this idea came from. But now what obsesses me and keeps me up at night is the fact that I've recognized that people are in pain, suffering. Okay, that's a bit of a dramatic word to say they're hungover, but you know what I mean. People are suffering years earlier often before they finally think, you know what, I need to stop drinking. And part of that was discovered by our own research, right? We saw lots of people land on the site or look at it, but then it took them, and they said to us, you know, I was watching those adverts for years before I signed up. And so in it, I was like, well, how do I help people earlier? And you said about awareness. So really the first point of intervention for people is an awareness. And I think that's where wearables come into play to say, hey, this is how much alcohol you've had. It's interesting. I've been testing these devices now. They're pretty clunky and they're crap user experience, but they're sweat monitors, highly accurate. And that is soon that will be in your Oura Ring. I give it 12, 18, 24 months before we've got sweat monitor in better devices. And then you're tracking alcohol consumption, giving people better data back. Like, this is what's happening in your body right now. So I think that's my focus, but that sounds like it's very aligned to what you're trying to do. Get earlier
and show people.
Yeah.
You know, show people, look, this is your bloods and this is what, you know, array has gone off, you know, and I love the Oura Ring because it's convenient.
Yeah.
You know, to wear.
And I don't have to charge it every 3 days. It used to be every 5 days. Yeah, now it's every 3 days.
Yeah. It's the green light they've added now, isn't it?
Doing my nut in. I prefer the 5 day version.
Yeah.
Keeps running out of battery.
Yeah. But you know, I'm completely aligned and we have that same kind of, you know, let's show people themselves.
Yeah.
Show people their own data but that wasn't available before. So
yeah.
We're at a really, really special point in time where we can do that. And
yeah.
And I think when people see that, it can give them that light bulb moment sooner rather than it being this point when they're on the floor and when it's a health problem, a disease problem.
Yeah.
And they've lost all their loved ones and they've kind of, you know, yeah, they're really in a bad place.
Yeah. So looking at that, what is the, you know, knowing what you know, what does the future look like for you? What do you see in society going ahead?
I see a lot of promise and I see a lot of danger.
Okay.
You know, drug availability there's a lot wider range of drugs available from,
we need a reclassification. Keep going.
Yeah. There's a lot wider and of medical drugs as well, right?
Like, yep.
It's like people using sleeping tablets and Ritalin, Adderall and
oh yeah.
It's lots of things, you know, widely available, overused, misused.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that what we were talking about, this hyper stimulated, always on, always in a different place, TikTok, metaverse, like, you know, this we're seeing technology advancing at a rapid rate at that level. But then we're also seeing, you know, humans engaging, you know, at one end, because it's polarizing, right? We're seeing kind of a bigger health difference in society. Like the people that aren't engaging, they're kind of getting sicker.
Mm.
And the smaller proportion that's growing, that are engaging and taking control of their own health and being engaged with that, are really getting, you know, more out of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully we can start to work to kind of influence the people that don't have hope or that aren't engaged or don't believe or whatever it is, whatever their blocker is, over time. And I love to see the merging of the healers now.
Yeah.
You know, before it used to just be the doctor. You know, and then going into the psychiatrist was taboo. Now we've got coaches and we've got brilliant people doing wonderful things, like, you know, which are getting better results than the medical system.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that combination of working together,
yeah,
you know, identifying processes earlier and coaching people and supporting them, I think is a blueprint for amazing success for people's self-fulfillment. And what I really like, because that's what health and life is all about, right? Like, you know, we want to help people self-fulfill, you know, and to redream what is possible for them. And, you know, that's what brings us sitting here together, doing the podcast together, you know, and hooked up to an NAD and
I know, jumped in the cryo before. Still.
And it's possible. That's the greatest thing, you know, like we're kind of going on our own journeys and we're seeing our community is also going on a journey where they're kind of like, you know, coming out of their shell And when you take people on that journey, they become nicer people as well, you know?
Yeah.
And they do, right? They just become nicer, more conscious, more self-aware.
Yeah.
And those ripples turn to waves.
Oh,
so
they are.
So
they
I'm seeing a bit of danger, but I'm seeing a lot of promise as well.
Okay.
Just having this conversation with you right now is brilliant. And the other interesting technological point for the future is this convergence of data, machine learning, AI. Yes.
Yeah.
And the ability to kind of tap into that to really, really shape the future of personalized healthcare.
Yeah.
And to overcome the system, which is built on adopting science in a very old fashioned way and just, you know, focused on, like, you know, case control studies on a large populations of one pathway improvement, drug A versus drug B, and people get better, which is a sick care model.
Yeah.
Not a kind of optimization based model. If we're working at the optimization, and before you get sick, people are going to live healthier, stronger, more fulfilled lives.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, you know?
And completely.
And so, yeah, so we're creating what's possible, which is really, really nice. But at the same time, people are getting sicker. So this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Together, you know, we're trying to help people understand with these sorts of kind of activities.
Amazing.
And collecting data, right?
And
going to be working together. And you supporting me to understand and get better at coaching, and me supporting you to kind of see what additional data points we can look
100%.
At. 100%.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. I feel like medical technology needs a Elon Musk. I feel like, you know,
he's got the Neuralink coming.
That is true. But it's like med tech has been left behind the revolution a little bit. It's got more to go. And I think, you know, like painting out to a future, like, you know, walking into a 3D scanner, being able to get an instant scan of your body, go through, that's your visit to the GP, and then being able to track that over time. I had this conversation with somebody who was a VC 15 years ago about that thing. That still doesn't exist, you know?
There's some cool stuff happening though.
Yeah.
But it just takes a long time to get onto people.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. 2007, I was working in a stem cell lab in San Diego. And at that time, it was like, okay, this is transforming retinal conditions. And now we're in 2023 and it's still not mainstream medicine.
No, it's exactly. It's right? still not.
We're 16 years on and it's still not mainstream medicine.
Too much red tape.
Yeah. And it's, you know, too much conservatism, too much looking at it from, too much bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Too much looking at it from a disease-based model.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than actually, okay.
The old thinking still holding it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are three in parts of the world. This is where I was talking about China earlier, and we were joking about Dolly the sheep and cloning humans. But they are doing stuff like that in China, unethically, albeit. Yeah. But, you know, it's in the world. There are things that are happening, 3D printing organs. There is some really cool stuff that's happening. I think we have to embrace looking at the human evolving the way we look at healthcare from the way we look at the human body, to be this self, you know, this regenerative potential of the human body and tapping into those pathways and supporting them. But I agree. MedTech tends to be focused around quality, system improvement, technology on the medical side. Medical technologies tend to be around, like, how do we improve the pathway rather than how do we disrupt the pathway and look at it differently.
There'll be someone. And what do you want to achieve? What are you trying to achieve? World domination, apart from world domination.
No, you know, honestly, it's I used to be more attached to the outcome than I am now. Now I'm less attached by the outcome. I'm just really pleased that I get to try and influence healthcare through working with our patients and building healthier people that are more fulfilled, and those ripples turning to where we're building data and evidence at the same time. And if it doesn't, you know, and that's enough for me. I'd love for more people to experience it. You know, in our mission statement, it's pioneering a new era of healthcare for the benefit of humanity. So I'd love to get this price down. I'd love to be able to support it with technology, do stuff working in the communities, working with schools. We're working with, you know, a sports talent pathway with, you know, underprivileged kids that want to get into sports. So, you know, just we want to do more and more, and we want to support these positive self-empowerment tools that some of them are free. Many of them are free. In fact, if you're starting early, you know, the breathing, the nutrition, the, you know, the mindset, you know, the meditation, you know, if people are doing that,
you've got to start teaching people at school. So absolutely.
Yeah. So actually that's come up this week a lot for me. And so, yeah, so that's, let's see what happens. Yeah. But it's just about enjoying the journey, right? We keep telling that, we keep hearing it, but you've got to remind yourself, but when you run a business as well, at the same time, it's, you know, you do sometimes get a bit stressed, but.
Well, I've definitely enjoyed the journey today.
It's been nice, right? Now you're going to enjoy the journey for the next few days after this as well.
Really?
Yeah, you're going
to. Fantastic. Am I going to sleep tonight?
You should sleep well. You should sleep well. But you're going to think a lot clearer. You might remove any brain fog.
Great. Because I did have a little tap of your brain fog stuff as well. So
brain sharpener.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we can get tucked into some more stuff after this. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And do you want to just tell everyone where they can find out a bit more about what you're up to?
I'd love that. Yeah, so it's a brand called Human, and the website's human.com, but instead of the A, it's the number 2, because it's about the Human 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's HUM2N.com. You can find us on our Instagram at Human as well. So HUM2N. My personal Instagram's at bydr.e. You can find out about us. Please feel free to engage with us. You know, look at our blogs, you know, follow us, engage with us, ask us questions, you know, and
awesome.
And we look forward to hearing from anyone that wants to do anything with us.
The future of health right here. And we are in, where are we? We're in South Kensington.
That's right.
South Kensington in London. So if you're in London and you want to get some tests done and jump into a hyperbaric chamber or hop into a cryo freeze your nuts off chamber. Thanks.
Yeah.
3 minutes. I could have done longer.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get you to 140 next time.
I'll do it. No problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, so I can't go longer?
No, because your skin will start to blister.
Really?
You get thermal burns, yeah.
Thermal burns. Might maybe look a bit prettier.
No, your skin's already glowing.
Thank you. No, it's been great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Rory.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the 1 Year No Beer podcast, where our mission is to share and tell the stories of the everyday heroes who are taking the steps to make a meaningful impact by changing their relationship with alcohol. If you want to join our community and find out more about the variety of benefits that you can enjoy by becoming part of our 80,000 plus members within our alcohol-free movement, then click the link in the show notes below.